We'll find out what the plan is for the activities of TIPA in the upcoming months. And we'll take a look at the Supreme Court decision rendered down regarding the Environmental Protection Agency and its ability to establish laws. And we'll take a look also at the air quality monitoring systems that are active in our community right now. So let's go to Studio 91. All right. So welcome to the Friday edition. We're going to be talking with air quality monitor personnel at the Tribal Environmental Protection Agency, TIPA. Got Brian McCoy on the telephone, and we have Frank Tellis here in Studio 91. We're going to be telling the story of the current TIPA. And welcome aboard, Frank.
Thank you, Joe. I'm happy to be here.
Maybe we get a little background on you. Where are you from? You're the newest employee there.
Yeah, so I'm a summer intern at TIPA. And so I'm a grad student at Northern Arizona University. And I'm doing my PhD there on air quality and climate change. Originally, I'm from Los Angeles, California, and I'm a member of the Chiricahua Apache tribe.
Okay. All right. Well, welcome aboard. And Brian, how'd you find him?
Oh, man. It was a real qualified pool this year of applicants for our air quality internship. We had 22 applicants. I narrowed it down to about 5 that I interviewed. Franklin was qualified at the end as the one that we selected first. And so we're really glad to have him and glad he accepted our offer to help out air quality this summer in preparation for the possible smoke from wildfires to keep everybody safe come later this summer.
So then you're going to return to school on the university after the summer?
That's correct. I'm going to continue my studies, continue doing my research on air quality and the dust in the Colorado Plateau, how it's impacting the area.
Yeah, and the snow. I understand that the dust settles on the snow and it melts faster.
That's correct. The snowpack melts earlier in the season, so you get more water earlier in the season, and then eventually, especially in the Colorado River Basin, the water level decreases even further, especially now that we're in the mega drought officially. Yeah, it's having impacts on the environment.
Well, how does all this affect us here in Hoopah, Brian?
Well, we're in another critically dry year. As you probably know, we spent those months of January, late January, into February and March with seeing well below average precipitation and snowfall in the mountains. And then a really warm April, which contributed to the loss of all the rest of the snowpack in the mountains. Fortunately, not unfortunately, I get to use the word fortunately sometimes in this. Fortunately for us, May and June, as you have experienced, we had normal precipitation, if not above average precipitation, with below normal temperatures on and off throughout those 2 months, which has helped prolong the fuel moistures higher than normal for this time of year going into July, and has definitely prolonged the start to major wildfires. We saw a lot of lightning strikes last weekend in the Siskiyou Mountains, and all of those were kept to minor events. So one larger wildfire burning and now contained for the most part down in the Central Sierra called the Electra Fire, and that's really all we have of note here in the West right now. Alaska, on the other hand, is on fire. There are 236 wildfires burning in Alaska. They also have experienced drought related to climate change. And this would be the second year in about the last 5 years that they've seen major wildfires burning in their boreal forests. So, yeah, the conditions are predicted to be above average for major wildland fire incidents going into August and September and October for our area.
So then, yeah, we're not out of the woods. Yeah.
No, none of this. It was good to have the cool temperatures and the moisture, and we should see a warming trend here over the next week. But that's not significant enough to do anything about the lack of rainfall that we are missing from this, the deficit that we're in from the winter.
Right. Well, thank you. That's a good and bad report, you know?
Yeah.
Well, okay. Now you have some events that are coming up. And
yeah, let me turn that over to Frank.
All right, Frank.
Yeah, so we have a health fair coming up next week on Wednesday, July 13th. And we're going to have a booth at that health fair. There'll be various vendors there. So come join us on July 13th. And then we have a few downtown events as well coming up on July 27th and August 24th. And we are having air cleaner days. So we'll be able to, we'll have a table there. We'll distribute a few goodies there as well. And then Sovereign's Day, August 12th, we'll also have a table there. We'll distribute and we'll distribute educational materials about air cleaner. How can you make your own air cleaner, especially that we're coming up to wildfire season? The cost is less than $50 to make, and we'll distribute the information when you come and join us on those days.
Yeah, you can also just quickly explain what we're talking about with the do-it-yourself air cleaner.
Yeah, sure. So you don't need a lot of materials to create a air cleaner. All you need is a box fan. You can use duct tape or two bungee cables. And you can buy a box fan online or your local hardware store, as well as the duct tape. And you can just attach the air filter. You get an air filter that's that the rating is above MERV, MERV 13 or above. That would be the ideal rating of an air filter. So you want to get a 20 by 20 air filter and a 20 by 20 box fan. And you just attach the filter to the fan via a duct tape and put it in the place where you want the air to be clean, especially you know that the wildfire is coming in. So you also want to close all the windows and you want to close the doors so the outside air doesn't come in, and you want to clean the air that's already inside. So you want to put it in, you want to create a clean room essentially. So past studies have shown that by putting a do-it-yourself air cleaner like this can reduce the amount of dust in the small amount of space. So you can do that. It's possible. You don't have to spend hundreds of dollars to clean the air in your house.
You have some experience using a do-it-yourself air cleaner. Is that true?
I do, yes. We were part of that study. The EPA came in here last summer. The smoke season last year, towards the end, and they gave us those box fans, and we had to answer questions. They left in there for about 2 weeks, and they had a monitor inside the house, so it measured the air quality in the house during that smoke event, and then they asked us about our health. So I was hoping that they would return a report about the whole community, and that's what I'm looking forward to, and find out.
Yeah, so I can talk about that after we get through the dates of our event.
Okay, yeah. And so I was going to say that a lot of times the air conditioners that we have in our houses don't have the air...
HEPA?
The filters as...
HEPA filters.
Yeah,
yeah,
they don't have that. And so this Adit thing... This added homemade air filter, that's a bonus right there. Yeah, so it's the air cleaner and how to do it. And
yeah, it is, and it does, you know, as you know, I mean, we use box fans and HEPA just to cool the air also, for air movement within the home. And using your air conditioner periodically during smoke events is fine during really high heat. You don't want to use it all the time if it's not pulling in smoke, but you know, I've just noticed that just laying by a box fan, you know, that's filtering the air at the same time, but you know, it helps to cool the body, as we know. So you know, in those times of the real heavy smoke, want to try to balance that air conditioner with just using indoor air filters, whether that's a commercial air cleaner, in tandem with do-it-yourself, you know, and just getting the air movement and sitting by it, you know, to cool yourself is the best way to keep house at a lower level of PM 2.5 is what we're looking for. So we're cleaning out the particulate matter 2.5 microns or less.
Yeah, you want to be comfortable and be safe too.
Yeah, not always the best, but it is a necessity to keep cool at the same time. We're working on air cleaners right now that can cool the air simultaneously, commercial-grade air cleaners. We have a challenge out to some of the technological firms, Elon Musk of the world, to create an air cleaner, an affordable air cleaner that can also cool the air. People are working on that.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Have an air conditioner, air cleaner.
Yeah,
thing.
Right. Affordable. Why not?
Affordable, yeah.
That definitely. Make it affordable.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear that.
So, Franklin, you want to tell us about some of the other dates and events? I think the dates for the air cleaner days have been set. It's on the air again so people can write them down.
Yeah, so the air cleaner days, we're going to join the downtown events. That's July 27th and August 24th.
Perfect. Going to go on at the event.
Well, at the event, we'll show you how to make one at the event as well. It's
okay.
You just come over to the event. We'll show you how to do it there. I'll have a box fan, and I'll have a few filters, duct tape, and we'll show you how to do it.
Yeah, so we're also going to be, you can bring your air cleaners down to that event. So get them out of the closet and, you know, even open them up if you'd like. Or you can just bring them down and we'll open them up for you. And we'll be able to determine if you need a new filter, what type of filter to purchase, and we can help you with that. So operation of your air cleaner, if you need some help with that, and the correct filters and pre-filters to order so that you're all ready for wildfire season. That's the other thing we're doing there.
Well, that's helpful. Yes, thank you.
Yeah, because a lot of people have questions about what's the right filter, how to order. You know, everybody wants to replace their filters, but, you know, they get about to that. They're like, I need to replace my filter, but I don't know what to replace it with. So
right.
We can help you with all that.
Yeah. When we get a machine, we expect it to work all the time, no matter what.
Yeah, so you want to be checking those out every year, especially after last year's smoke episode. And if you've been using it for multiple years, the filter definitely needs to be replaced.
Absolutely.
The year before, if you didn't replace it from the year before, then it needs to be replaced if you're reusing it. Because that was, you know, the year before, we all remember what happened that year.
Yeah, that was bad.
Yeah, it was super bad. So.
Oh, I remember taking the filter out, and you couldn't see through it.
And it was pitch black.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's going to be part of the lessons right there, made available to you, downtown Hoopon, other events. Very good.
Yeah, and then there's a health fair that's happening too, come out.
Yeah, the health fair is taking place on Wednesday, July 13th at the medical center near the airport.
Well, isn't it going to be at the neighborhood facilities?
July 13th, it's at the medical center. That's what the calendar showed. July
13th. Yeah, I think it's out at Kamau, Joe.
Is that Kamau?
Kamau.
The July 13th one?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I usually have it at the neighborhood facilities in the gymnasium. Because there's a lot of space, because there's a lot of people coming. I don't know where they would put that at Kamau.
That may be where it is. Then you would know best.
That's.
I don't think they've changed that. So if it's usually at the neighborhood facility, then that's where it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'll make that edit in there. Don't worry about it. Okay. I'll double check it and I'll make the edit correct. Okay.
Okay.
So what are you going to be doing at the health fair? What's the plan?
I will be.
Do the same thing.
Yeah.
Right.
I'll be showing how to make a do-it-yourself hair cleaner.
Okay. That's one of the lesson sites at the health fair.
Then we have Sovereign's Day.
Yes, that's on August 12th.
Right.
Neighborhood facilities lawn.
Yeah, we'll also be checking air cleaners there. If you want to bring them down there and just stop by the booth, we'll try to get some freebie stuff to hand out to you related to air cleaners and maybe have a survey for you to fill out to get some special prizes.
So there's a lot happening. You got some plans for this summer and you got help right here for the summer and get education and experience and stay healthy.
Really glad to have Franklin helping us out.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
We're talking about the Tribal Environmental Protection Agency. Now we're going to move on into the U.S. Supreme Court decision to limit the actions of the Environmental Protection Agency and what needs to be done next. And also, we'll take a look at the air quality monitoring within the valley. So how about this Supreme Court thing? What's this all about?
So I can give you a recap on that. I think it, as it relates to tribal environmental programs, there's not too much impact how we operate. It was a wrangling of power by the Supreme Court. They're trying to wrangle in the U.S. EPA, and they voted that the U.S. EPA is overstepping their regulatory authority. It gets a little bit into the legal realm there, but it has to do with capping carbon dioxide emissions at a level that will force the nationwide transition away from the use of coal to generate electricity. And that what the U.S. EPA has been pushing is for reduction in carbon emissions. States such as West Virginia, who challenged some of these overarching regulations that have been put in place by the U.S. EPA, have states that rely on coal production for their economy. We've heard this story before. And they have cited a doctrine called Section 111 of the Clean Air Act. And it says that decisions that have great economic impact to states have to be clearly identified what you are saying. So it can't be like overarching broad statements. It has to be clearly written exactly what you're doing and how you're doing it. And that's what the U.S. Supreme Court agreed with the state of West Virginia, that right now how the laws have been written by the U.S. EPA are too broad.
Oh.
So that was the whole decision. It began in the Trump administration, and then it has moved through. So it continued to be challenged within the Biden administration. So it's called the Major Questions Doctrine, and this is a quote. It says that even though federal agencies generally have broad rulemaking power as delegated by Congress, that would be the U.S. EPA, through the statutes that create them, when it comes to issues of major economic and political significance to the country, those statutes need to have clear language to support the agency's action. And the U.S. Supreme Court agreed with that.
Okay. All right.
So it does not directly impact what we're doing at TIPA.
Okay. That's what I want to know.
More of a nationwide legal argument. It has curbed what the Biden administration has had or is trying to do with eliminating carbon emissions. It's making it tougher. They have to go back to the drawing board and explain in detail what they mean by this. Right now, it's too broad, so it fits under this major questions doctrine that's been upheld by the Supreme Court as being unconstitutional, I'm pretty sure. So.
Okay, so we're going to keep our air quality monitors throughout the valley.
Oh, yeah. We're keeping those.
All right. We're going to be adding any more?
I don't think we're going to be adding any more currently. We did receive, I can give an update about the Clean Air Act, since we're talking about it, the Clean Air Act tribal funding. And I was able to secure continuous air quality funding through what's called the Clean Air Act 103 program. For the first time in over a decade, HUPA is back, has their foot in the door with continuous air quality funding. So that's a good thing. It's not enough. It's not what I've been asking for, but it will help to continue some of these programs, which I started from scratch and didn't receive funding for. It'll help maintain our monitoring array in the valley. So any little bit helps. You know, we're on a shoestring budget over there at TEPA, and so any more money and support that we can get from US EPA as it relates to air quality is much appreciated.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, some of those things we'd like to look into putting more air quality monitors in the schools to look at different airflow systems in the school and see how those are operating. And that may be where we're headed. And then continue those monitors in the north and the south of the valley and on Bald Hill, which is nice that you guys report on every morning and afternoon, especially during the winter smoke inversions. You know, we've been able to see that Campbell Field has a lot, is impacted heavier at certain times than the rest of the valley by wood-burning stove smoke. Usually reads higher down there at the TCC. I think you probably noticed that, Joe.
Correct, yeah. Well, there's more people in
Campbell. We didn't have any of that insight into that until we placed those monitoring devices.
Uh-huh.
It can be vice versa, though. Even up in Norton Field, sometimes in the mornings, it can have impacted air quality up there at the Landmark Baptist Church area. And then Bald Hill sometimes also, you can see smoke lingering up there in the inversion. So,
would it be possible to get some sort of a visual type of a graphic? Pardon?
Are you talking like PG&E type cameras?
No. I'm just talking about on a piece of paper, a graphic that shows maybe the time of day or time of year and the impacts here, and so kind of visual.
Yeah, so you're talking, well, we can just move right into that. I mean, you had mentioned it in your intro of what we're doing with all this data. And we are crunching all the data numbers currently for all the different sensors in all the different buildings. And that includes outdoor sensors. And an update is imminent for not just building owners as it relates to the information that was gathered last summer by Tom, the engineer, on recommendations to improve heating, ventilation, and air conditioning in all those different buildings that we're monitoring, but also more information coming out about what we found out in the residential studies. We're planning on presenting that at a council meeting in August with all the council members. So that's something that I'll be updating everyone about. It looks like it's the August 19th council meeting that will be on the agenda to present some of this information to the community. And then, of course, the building owners, radio station included, will be providing an in-depth report on what we found, the recommendations, and, yes, the air quality sensor readings for the last couple years, if you've been involved in the study that long. So, there's a lot of information that's going to be coming out, and that is the next step, is to share that information back to the community in an efficient way. We're always looking for recommendations on how to do that best.
Okay, that's make sure we, we broadcast live those council meetings, so that would be available.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
Yeah. So we'll make sure to promote that.
I mean, even the town hall meeting at some point, that, you know, picking a time where the interest is high enough for people to attend and giving that presentation in a different forum than just the council would probably be optimal for people that are interested. But those aren't well attended usually. So we're trying to look for ways to incentivize to get the community involved. We definitely want to present this information also at the Hoopaw Fire State Council meetings.
Good.
So that's another another avenue where you can get the information from. So we're coordinating with that. Should provide an update, you know, at those meetings here in the future.
Okay, that's really encouraging. Yeah, that's the exact information I was hoping we would be able to share in this program. Mission accomplished. Hey.
Yes.
So what do you think, Frank?
It'd be great. I can't wait to share this information with people. I meet more people at the fair and at the air cleaner days and at Sovereign's Day especially.
Yeah, that's the big community thing. Yeah, it's always fun there. There have been days when we thought that we would have to cancel that because of the smoke that was happening around that time, but it didn't get that bad. We're looking on it and watching those monitors.
And you can check out the monitors. They're online. They're live.
The purple air?
Yeah, the purple air monitors. Mm-hmm. We have them there. You can just go on the website.
We recommend going to the fire and smoke map. You can Google that. But all the sensors are available and quality assured on the fire and smoke map. You can Google fire and smoke map. There's only one of them. But that's what our recommendation is. There's also a link on the TIPA website to that.
Okay. All right. Fire and smoke map. Google that.
Google that.
Yeah, it's always good to know where to go to find those things. There's so many places you can go on the internet. Yeah,
that's the one site that we're trying to get everybody to use.
Okay, we'll put that out there on a PSA and type of information.
Yeah, you can visit our website. It's www.hoopatepa.org.
So you spell out Hoopa, HOOPATEPA.
That's correct.
Okay. Anything else you guys want to introduce here? I got 37 minutes of material to edit down to around 29 minutes. So, and a lot of it was starting out when Frank first got here. So I got a lot of
stuff. Perfect.
All right. And then you've been on the line for 34 minutes.
Yeah. And we just appreciate you, Joe, interviewing us. And can't wait to hear ourselves on the radio on the Friday edition.
Okay. Very good. Thank you very much, Franklin Tellis and Brian McCoy. Air quality people at the Travel Environment Protection Agency. Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Right. You've been listening to the Friday edition, the Travel Environmental Protection Agency program, the air quality monitoring crew, Brian McCoy, Franklin Terrace. The Friday edition is a production of KIDE Hoopa, Hoopa Tribal Radio. The producer, host, and engineer has been Joseph Orozco. For KIDE, we thank you for listening.